Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Here we go, not live, but recorded. Looks like I'm still overdriving the mic. How does that happen? Like, I have it set just fine before we go live, and then when we go live, all of a sudden it's too loud. Let me just fix it real quick, because that's my intention right now, is to get this audio thing kind of fixed up. Let's try that. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Here we are recording the show, because I didn't get a recording of it yesterday. So here you go. If you're on any kind of a social media platform, will you please go to that platform and just post that you listen to the Redneck Dentist Podcast, post that we're on every Wednesday and Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and let's get some people to join us here on Real Liberty Media. That would be awesome. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having some fun, shining light on the darkness. You guys can catch Hal Anthony every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours packed full of information. That guy does not use breaks. 2 hours constant information, man. Bring something to take notes with, because he'll pass on some knowledge that you will absolutely love getting. The 21st of December, we're going to do a memorial show for Grimner, the guy who started this great platform. And, you know, we're going to have call-ins. You can call in, get on the air, you know, put your own memorial on the air. Grimner passed a year ago. And, yeah, that'll be a good time. And we'll play some music that Grimner liked. We'll play some suggestions from the audience. And just, you know, have an hour of remembrance time. I think that would be great. Let's see. It's getting cold here in the Pacific Northwest. We're getting ready to have a bit of a cold spell, although, you know, the weathermen, they can't get it right. You know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, they were talking about this gigantic Arctic cold front that was covering most of the country, and by the end of the week, it would, you know, be from coast to coast here in the United States. And today they're like, yeah, well, not so much. It's not really going to be that big. And it's probably not going to move down here into Oregon. So, you know, our hopes for a white Christmas are fading fast, let's say. But that's typical. We almost never get a white Christmas. We do occasionally. Sometimes just a little tiny dust or a hint or something that looks like a snowflake we'll call snow, but really it's not very often we actually get snow here in the valleys during Christmas or on Christmas. So I was thinking lately about this, everything that's going on with Twitter and freedom of the press and freedom of speech, and I'm kind of interested to see where this will go. In this past week, we marked the anniversary, basically, of the first radio transmission that was sent across the Atlantic this day in history, 1901, so 121 years ago, first radio transmission sent across the Atlantic Ocean. And the importance of that is, I mean, compared to today, where you can, you know, you can type out a message or you can record your voice or literally go live on many different platforms, and you are instantly live for whoever in the world can see that message. That's incredible to think that in 121 years, this is how far we've come. But I was looking at, you know, everything that's gone on with the government, the U.S. government censoring, actually colluding with private entities to censor American citizens, to take away the free speech of American citizens. And, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, what Twitter is doing by exposing the federal government for this collusion, you know, to work with private entities to basically take away your Second Amendment right. First Amendment right, I mean. Well, and Second Amendment right, too. You know, the right of free speech and the freedom of the press are, I'm confusing us all. The Second Amendment, of course, is guns, the right to keep and bear arms. But my point is, what's going to happen? I mean, we have to be very careful to protect all of the civil rights that were included in the Bill of Rights. You know, like the most recent thing, Roe v. Wade, they claim that, you know, that that the rights were taken away, but that's not true. It was never a civil right. And my argument would be, if you're conceived and you've developed into a, even if you're just conceived, I think you have human rights. You're a human. You're not something else. You're not a monkey. You're not a rat. You're not a squirrel. You're a human at that point, in my opinion. And that's when you start having civil rights, is when you're a human born in the United States of America, or a human conceived in the United States of America, is my contention. But the women who oppose this abortion rights, Roe v. Wade being overturned, you know, it's kind of funny that they claim that that's a civil right, but nobody talks about, you know, how the civil right extends to this unborn human being. But here we are, you know, with Twitter coming out with the Twitter files and exposing the federal government for censoring American citizens. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, so where is this going to go? You know, are those citizens who are reporting, they're basically reporting stuff, either on Twitter or on Instagram or on YouTube or from their phone or, you know, in text messages on a text platform like Twitter. Well, Twitter was originally more of a text platform. I guess now you can put other stuff on it. But, you know, how do you define press? You know, is this whole idea that the government was telling a private entity who to censor and who to not censor, was that their way of taking away, you know, some fundamental civil rights here in the United States? You know, just by squelching their right to free speech, for example. But then if you go into people who are content creators who are talking about the things that may be controversial or may be political or may be anti-government, so to speak. I mean, I've been outspoken about the vaccine and all the damage that it does, and I have source material that will support my opinion. Research articles from real scientists, not the fake religious scientists that are in, you know, public office who just claim some kind of superiority among above everybody else and claim that they have, you know, the knowledge to be able to profess that this vaccine is safe and that other treatments aren't safe, you know, long-standing medications that have been proven safe over decades. And somehow they squelch those medications and not give them the value that they really do have. But actual scientists who actually take data and study data and apply statistical analysis to that data and come up with, you know, results that they can that can be repeated, because data doesn't lie, people lie. So, you know, what if you're one of those people who's out saying, hey, you need to know about the hazards of this vaccine. You need to know about the people who are dropping dead for no reason at all. You need to know about those who have died suddenly, that we have time after time after time. Day after day, you're seeing people dying suddenly. Young, healthy men dying suddenly. And I have an example today. I'm just going to, every show, when, you know, there's at least one every day. I'm not kidding. And so I'll just pick one up and put it in the show. It'll be our Showtime Died Suddenly entry. And people need to know that stuff. So is the federal government now going to, I mean, they've already basically taken over all the old washed up news programs, the mainstream media, the lamestream media, the prestitutes, as I heard them called this week. Hadn't heard that before. I don't know how that slipped by me. But, you know, they basically control ABC, CBS, NBC, and the Fox local networks, because you don't hear any kind of controversial information on any of the mainstream media outlets. You, like Twitter files, not one single time has ABC, CBS, NBC, or the Fox local channels, I don't even know if Fox News has covered the Twitter files. But the point is that those mainstream media, supposedly news outlets, won't cover this controversial news because they're in the pocket of the current ruling party, which is the Democratic Party here in the United States. And for some reason, you know, they're all on board with becoming a socialist country and having all these progressive institutions happily cruising along in this country. And, you know, half of the country doesn't agree with it. But the mainstream media no longer cares about that half of the country. And I saw a beautiful takedown today by Dr. Steve Turley. If you haven't seen his podcast, you ought to check him out, man. That guy hits the nail on the head a lot, and he's kind of fun to listen to. So check out Stephen Turley. He's on YouTube, so he must be keeping his nose clean a little bit. Because, you know, mostly voices, you know, that speak about controversial things, things that YouTube doesn't like, they'll censor you. Or things that the government doesn't like, YouTube will censor you. Or things that the Democratic Party doesn't like, YouTube will censor it. Because YouTube is in the pocket of the ruling party right now. And I think, you know, there's going to come a day when YouTube is going to take a fall, just like Twitter kind of took a fall when Elon Musk took over. And it's going to become something, I mean, if Elon Musk sticks to his guns, he's going to allow open debate on Twitter. And that's a good thing. I've said myself, you know, if anybody wants to come on and debate me about, you know, any of my standings, any of my views, hey, I welcome it. The thing is, you'll find with progressives and Democrats, they won't talk to anybody who can make an argument against them because their beliefs are based on emotions, totally on emotions. And you can't make an argument for emotions. But that's what they do to keep their party ideas going. I mean, look what happens. Look what has happened with the gender reassignment surgery. You know, it's not about how mutilating that is to a human body. They don't talk about how much damage is done to the psyche. They don't talk about that human being having some mental issues and needing to grow out of it. All they talk about is how much, if you don't believe in gender reassignment surgery, how much damage and how hateful you are to those people who are considering gender reassignment surgery. It's all about emotion. It has nothing to do with scientific facts. It has nothing to do with the actual reality that when you take a body part off, anything you put in its place is not going to be nearly as good as what nature created, what God created. And they can't make that argument. Same with killing a 9-month-old baby, and the mom's fine and the baby's fine. It's just that mom decided she doesn't want that baby now. so they can somehow make their emotional argument that, well, you're interfering with this mother. She needs to have this abortion. You know, it's important for her. It's one of her human rights. Well, it's not. You know, once you created that life, that doesn't mean it's yours to take whenever you feel like it. And that's just, you know, that's just the kind of the basic science of things. If you want to get emotional about it, and I'm not talking about a woman needs a medical intervention to take a baby out to save her life at 9 months. I think that's extremely rare. I could imagine there's some crazy instance where that is a possibility, but we're not talking about that. You're talking about women who are going into abortion clinics at 9 months of their pregnancy and saying, I don't want this baby. And the, you know, abortion clinics, that's what they do. They make their money performing abortions. They don't make their money counseling people into not getting an abortion. Like I've always said, if you think you need surgery on something, go see a surgeon. You'll definitely be getting surgery on something. If you really want a clear opinion, go see, you know, a primary care. Go see maybe two or three different specialists to see if you really need surgery or not. Because, you know, if you go to an abortion clinic, you're not asking to have a life saved. You're asking to have a baby murdered. And that's about it. Anyway, how did I get so far off on that tangent? Oh, because I was talking about civil rights and I was talking about how the government has colluded to squelch speech and squelch, you know, freedom of the press. You know, today, in this day and age, people are doing podcasts. Now, people do podcasts and do streaming events and live or recorded video events to entertain people and also to get some message out, whether it's a message of learning some new technique, learning to be a, be able to survive in the wilderness. There's a lot of guys who do survival shows like that. Learning to have a homestead, learning what it takes to raise animals, or learning how to skateboard better or do a certain skateboard trick. People do podcasts for all kinds of reasons, but some people do podcasts as a form of the press to get the news out. News that may be prohibited by the federal government. News that may be censored by the Democratic Party. News that is taken off other platforms. People are creating new platforms, new parallel economies so that those platforms can't be taken down. So that the news can get out, so that there's new ways of getting the message out in the world. Today we have podcasts. Today we have streaming video. We have the opportunity to say things that aren't being said on the state-run media platforms, like YouTube and like Twitter was, and Instagram and Facebook and Google. All of these platforms that censor free speech here in the United States, well, you got to have an alternative. If they're not willing to do it because they no longer believe that those rights are important in this country, then you got to go somewhere else. And it's really no different than it was 200 years ago. You know, if somebody was going to take over the press, well, you had to find an alternative way of getting the message out. Paul Revere comes to mind. You know, you had to, if you want to communicate what needs to be done, something that is happening, some transgression that has taken place. I was talking about China, about how the Chinese people, they all have cell phones, and they all have brains, and they all have technology, and they're no different than us or any other human beings on the face of the earth. There's always a group of people who are going to hack whatever there is out there. If it's an electronic device, they're going to hack it. If it's a printing system, they're going to hack it. If it's a phone system, they're going to hack it. So there's always going to be those people in whatever culture you live in. There's going to be somebody who's kind of a rebel or not, but they're going to want to hack systems. They're going to want to see, just out of curiosity, if nothing else, my own curiosity about computers 50 years ago. Wait, how old am I? Yeah, okay, 45 years ago. It was my own curiosity that made me want to know how to make a computer do what I wanted it to do. Instead of the computer giving me some options and me picking from those options, I wanted to know how to create those options. I wanted to know how to write the code that presented those options. And then I wanted to know how to mess with the code that would make those options do one thing or another, or to not do anything, or to do something else. I wanted to know how to harness the power of this thing that people called a computer. People in all other cultures are no different than me. There's always a group of people who have a curiosity to figure things out. That's human nature for some people. And whether it's computers or accounting or religion or philosophy or geography, geology, astrology, any of those things, people want to know more. There's certain people that are stimulated by whatever field it is, and they'll want to do more. So in China, you have people that have cell phones, you have people that have tablets, you have people that have home computers with, you know, monitors and screens and internet hookup, and they, you know, have been suppressed. They've been under, you know, this COVID zero program in China for I don't know how long now. And, you know, the Chinese Communist Party has locked people down and kept them in their apartments, literally welding doors shut. There was a fire that killed some people in apartments, and the people couldn't get out because the doors were welded shut because the Chinese Communist Party doesn't want people moving around because supposedly they have a zero COVID policy. Well, people of China are finally, you know, hey, they've had it with that crap, and they're like, hey, we got to get the word out, man, that inhumane stuff is going on here. Now, thank God they finally did it for themselves, because there's a lot of inhumane stuff that's going on in China. With Falun Gong and stuff like that, forced organ harvesting, taking organs from people that are still alive, and the organ harvesting kills that person, and it's just like, oh, well, we need the organ, you know, sorry about your luck, later. So anyway, at least the Chinese people are standing up now. They're actually standing up to the police that come in to tell them to settle down, and they're actually making a stand. And yeah, a lot of people are probably going to die or disappear, because they're standing up and making a stance, and they're speaking out, and they're getting the word out. And that's my point. You have to have freedom of the press so people can continue to be free. Because once the state takes over communication, news, that's it, man. You know, when they control all, look at what happened in the past 2 years. Now, most of the people who listen to my podcast are already well aware of what happened in the past 2 years. And most of the people knew 2 years ago what it was going to look like in 2 years, which by that I mean today. Today, we know for a fact, based on actual scientific data, actual scientific studies, we know a lot of things that we guessed were true 2 years ago, but we didn't know until the proof came out. We know for a fact that the vaccine that was generated, forced on the entire human population in the world, that vaccine is maybe 20% effective at preventing the transmission of COVID. It's probably less than 20% effective at protecting you from COVID. It has a very low success rate at reducing the effects of COVID. It may or may not shorten your hospital stay, depending on how you measure that. Like if you die shortly after getting in the hospital, well, yeah, it has shortened your stay, but this vaccine has a lot of dangerous effects. Look at the effects that comes from the spike protein actually stimulating blood clots. And, you know, a lot of people were saying in the beginning, man, there's an awful lot of blood clots happening out there. And in people that are vaccinated, and, oh, well, it's just coincidental, you know. I mean, that was the talk 2 years ago. Well, guess what we're finding now? We're finding out that people who got the vaccine are 10 times, you know, percentages of times at higher risk of developing blood clots. They're at higher risk of having myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. They're at higher risk of having a multitude of post-vaccine problems that we can actually document now because we have people who've been vaxxed and data that has been collected, not by the federal government, mind you, by institutions who are actually taking data from real people who are complaining. Because I can tell you, if you put in a VAERS complaint, they're going to review it and decide whether or not it was actually from the vaccine or not. And that's not how you do science. That's how you do politics. Science, you actually take a group of people, and you take a group of people who didn't have the vaccine and people who did. You do a double-blind study. You figure out, you know, what effects actually more than likely came from the vaccine and which didn't. And you can do that with statistical analysis. Statistics and statistical analysis has been around for a century at least, probably longer. And those methods and trials, that the method of using statistical analysis is well proven. It's been around long enough that everybody knows what, you know, statistical significance means, and whether you could, you know, toss it out like that. The result is no more than a random occurrence, let's say. So yeah, I mean, you know, we're finding out more and more every day what the truth is. But the truth is still not being brought out on mainstream media. None of those platforms I talked about before, the mainstream media platforms, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and you could even add some cable news channels to that, CNN, MSNBC, Headline News, Fox News for that matter, they're not telling the truth. And it all goes back to who holds the purse strings. And it's not the guy who owns the company. It's these investment companies that actually own all the advertisers who are going to advertise on those platforms, which is why independent podcasts and streaming and independent press is going to save the world, basically. Because they're the only ones who aren't dependent on those advertisers that can be pulled at any minute. The minute you say something that they're not really thrilled with, the minute you say something that goes against, you know, their agenda or, you know, their social, what's that score? I forget. ESG score, environmental, social, and government, ESG. If you have a good ESG score, they'll continue to buy advertising from you. But if you don't have a good ESG score, they're going to lock your bank account so you can't even access the money that you earned in the past. Are you kidding me? So when the government is now censoring American citizens and censoring what I consider is the new press, you really have to be wondering, you know, where are you going to get your information from? I hear every day from many of the content creators that I listen to that the people are leaving the mainstream media, that people are losing faith in the mainstream media. And that's probably true. I hope to God it's true. I see myself in my life, I see people who are waking up, truly waking up, not woke, but waking up. And they're realizing that the government lies to them. Now, for a lot of us, that's just a joke, right? It's a joke that we all, oh, yeah, well, duh, the government lies to you. But no, people now are seeing that the government lied to the entire world population. The U.S. government led this charge because Anthony Fauci was basically making sure that money got sent to gain-of-function research, and then he made sure that he helped promote, create, whatever, financially or professionally back the vaccine, and of course he was going to make some money on that deal too. So Anthony Fauci, who happened to be in the NIAID here in the United States, the NIH. He's the reason for all of these deaths throughout the entire world. Anthony Fauci is person zero who is responsible for those deaths. And people throughout the world are going to learn the truth. It's going to be a little bit at a time, man, but 2 years later, hey, guess what? The truth is getting out. Thank God it's only 2 years. But the truth is getting out, and that's what's important. So we have to be vigilant. We have to be paying attention to the federal government activities. We're going to have to hold people accountable that literally actively engage with a private corporation to censor at least American citizens' voices and American press voices. There were a lot of people with great reputations already doing a lot of content creation, already doing news programs, who were censored by the federal government. We're going to have to hold those people accountable. We're going to actually have to. By hold them accountable, I mean they have to be put on trial and they have to do their time or be put to death, whatever the appropriate punishment is for basically treason, violating civil rights of at least the citizens in the United States. And I can't even imagine the other countries, how pissed they would be at the United States. And it's really sad that the United States actually got to this point where we actually had one guy who had the ability to cause so much death in so many other countries. And where is the outrage in this, by the way? I mean, look at all of the countries who produce, let's say, minorities in the world. Like, where is the outrage that this guy killed so many minorities in this last little fling of his? Luckily, some of those countries didn't actually take the vaccine. They didn't allow the vaccine to come into their country. They rejected it or they left it in storage once it arrived. Good for them. Probably saved a bajillion lives by not releasing that poison on your population. Good for you guys. But yeah, where is the outrage, man? Where is the outrage against the United States, the current administration? Don't forget Trump did this too, though, please. You know, I like Trump. He was okay, but I'm never going to forget that he was one of the people, the first people to get into this whole lockdown thing, to flatten the curve, you know, to stay at home, to social distance. I'm sure he was listening to Anthony Fauci, but I don't care, man. You're the president of the United States. You're the president of the United States, which means first and foremost, you protect our civil rights among above everything else. That is the most important job of being president of the United States. You can worry about our health. You can give us the options to make choices about our health. You can give us as much information as you think we need to make choices, but you can't force an experimental medication on the population. It's actually illegal. You know, the Nuremberg trials, I think, is where we came up with the Geneva Convention that said, yeah, you can't do that anymore. You can't experiment on prisoners or civilians in wartime or in peacetime. And you can't turn your bioweapons against your own population. That's in the Geneva Convention, for crying out loud. It's not even just a right here in the United States. It's literally a worldwide document, you know, agreement that, hey, we're not going to use experimental medications against our own populations or other civilian populations or prisoners of war, you know, or civilian prisoners, military, whatever. We're not doing it. Well, we did it, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, that, you know, hopefully they don't try and redefine what the press is. Because, I mean, now with all this technology, the press is this technology. The press is the internet, which is actually kind of scary because it can be shut off in no time. You know, people even have, blockers like Bluetooth blockers and Wi-Fi blockers. You can put signal blockers up in your house. I mean, there's easier ways to stop, you know, activity in your house, but you can actually just buy these blockers and you can put it in your pocket and walk in a room and nobody's Wi-Fi will work. I like that idea, honestly. But the press is going to be redefined. Speech, maybe it's going to be redefined too. You know, there's so many things coming out now, like this person who, she was designing something for weddings, like she designed, I don't know what she designed, maybe the cards, invitations or whatever, and she didn't want to design invitations for a gay couple because it was against her religion. And now they're saying, well, you know, because she's saying, well, it's a violation of my freedom, you know, freedom of speech to be able to, you know, provide art to whoever I want to provide art to, and if it violates my religious freedom, I don't have to do it. And they're saying, well, yeah, you know, art is, because it's art, you know, and it's a really kind of a highly skilled situation, it really needs to be available to everybody, which is like the stupidest damn argument I've ever heard. You know, here's the deal. You know, let's say I walk into whatever local, you know, shop that has, maybe they make leather goods. Let's say they make leather goods. And I walk in there and I'd like to buy a, you know, saddlebag or a, you know, a belt. I'd like to buy a belt. And for whatever reason, that person and I just, you know, I don't know, they don't like the way I look, you know, maybe I'm too redneck, I'm bald, I'm a white guy. They probably think I'm a white supremacist, so, you know, that I'm not going to buy a belt for them. Guess what I do? I go find somewhere else to buy a belt, for crying out loud. I'm 100% sure that that guy's belt isn't so damn good that I want to drop everything and start a lawsuit to get a belt from this guy. I'm going to go find my belt somewhere else. Or my saddlebag, or a saddle for that matter. You know, we don't have to like each other. We honestly don't have to like each other. And I, you know, I've always said God gave us all these emotions so that we would actually use them. Even though he really doesn't like us to hate, he actually gave us the emotion of hate. It's part of the human condition. There's some people that you should hate. You know, there's people, I was catching the local news today, and there was a family that was mourning the loss of their sister, their mother, their daughter. It was all the same person. She was killed in a car crash on a street in Portland because there was somebody speeding, you know, far above the speed limit and probably T-boned her car on the driver's side, and it killed her instantly. Man, there's some hate there. I have my own story of hate. I can't remember if I talked about it on the air or not, and I probably won't again, even if I did. But there's some people that deserve hate. There's a reason why we have that emotion, along with love and sadness and happiness. So that we know what emotion we're dealing with. You know, so many kids today, I heard this even recently in my own, you know, kind of small circle, is that kids today are just talking, they're obsessed with suicide. And my wife and I are like, why? Why would you be obsessed with suicide? Well, you know, they've been locked down for 2 years. They haven't had this socialization time. They don't have time to play. They don't get out, and they don't, you know, mingle with people. And, you know, I mean, private school or homeschooling is awesome, except kids miss out on, you know, some socialization there too. And if they don't choose to go out and be a part of some social group, you know, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or FFA or volleyball or football or, you know, basketball, whatever, I don't know what it is, but, you know, they're just so obsessed with suicide these days. And it's really sad, you know. And the reason that people get suicidal, if you talk to psychologists, you'll find this out. It's because emotions become so intertwined that you can't separate them. I went through a period in my life when I was in dental school and a lot of things were going on. I mean, I'm not kidding. I could tell you guys stories. And I'm not going to say, you know, that it was the worst time of my life or that I had this horrible thing happen that was so much worse than anything you had happen to you, because it wasn't. But for me, there was this period of time, maybe a year of time, where I lost the ability to separate out emotions. Like, I couldn't tell what was happy or sad or anxious or nervousness or hate or love. They were all mixed up. And they were so mixed up and intertwined that I couldn't separate them. Now, I didn't know that until I actually started talking to somebody. And then I got a little professional help. Luckily, I was in dental school where all that stuff was, you know, part of the student health services. And I wasn't crazy. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't anything but confused. And if you could imagine being 13 years old, 14 years old, 12, you know, pubescent, hormones flying everywhere, and then you're confused about all different kinds of emotions, you know, your bag of coping skills is pretty damn small and mostly empty. In other words, you've got all these hormonal things going on, you have all these social things not going on, you have this huge bunch of emotions that are all bundled up and you can't separate them because you're 12, 13, 14, 15. You don't have the skills to separate them out yourself. You probably don't have the family circle that's willing to help you separate those things out and to be, you know, put things in the proper perspective. And yeah, I guess one of your weapons then is suicide, because that's what your friends talk about. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting time to see where things go after the Twitter files. It's going to be an interesting time to see what happens in the next few years if the United States actually gets its footing back on actual civil rights and not pretend made-up civil rights. We do have a long ways to go. I'm kind of interested in hanging around and seeing what it's going to look like. But, you know, honestly, after what I've learned this last 6-7 months is you really don't have that choice. You can do everything you can do to be healthy, happy, and, you know, adjusted. And still, sometimes, it's not going to matter. You're just going to be, I had to look at the clock, see how much more time I had. Sometimes that option is taken away from you. I'm renegotiating my dental contract right now, and they want 30 days notice. Part of the contract is, well, you'll give us 30 days notice, and anything short of 30 days, you'll pay us $600 a day. I was just laughing at that statement. I was like, you know, sometimes you don't get a chance to give 30 days notice. Let's be realistic here. I don't know what you need $600 a day for from me. If I say I'm going to quit in 2 weeks and you want 2 weeks of my pay, what, to find another dentist? There's no other dentist. There's a shortage. Tough it out. My 2 weeks isn't going to make any difference to you in the long run. But yeah, things are changing, and I would kind of like to hang around and see what it's like. Well, I guess that was my editorial. It went on way longer than I thought. But, you know, I think it's important. I think we're gonna see some changes there, and I think it's important that we talk about it now. And prepare for whatever's going to, and just have our eyes open to the idea that maybe we're going to be redefining speech or redefining press, and where are we going to land on those issues? I mean, we can't let the federal government be the ones who make those decisions. We just can't let it happen. And it won't happen. Because people are always, there's always going to be rebels. There's always going to be people that, you know, put up a little bit of a fight, you know, that want to make sure that information continues to flow. So no matter what the federal government says, I mean, look what happened with the 2 years of censorship. Well, it goes back to 2016 when the Fed started getting involved with censoring Americans. So 6 years, man, people found a workaround. People found a way to keep getting the message out. Yet now, yes, it was hindered. Yes, it was less effective. Yes, it reached far fewer people in the beginning. Now it's very different. Now more and more people are finding these platforms. It's kind of funny. Oh, this is a little aside. So I'm on Mastodon, and I'd be willing to bet most people don't know what Mastodon is. Well, maybe more people know now, because Mastodon has been around for a few years. It's a free open source software system, bunch of servers that's kind of like Twitter, but a lot not like Twitter. And when the crying little wallflowers, the snowflakes from Twitter, left Twitter, they all went screaming over to Mastodon and immediately started, you know, putting in tickets, let's say, about, you know, people that offended them. And these servers are owned by individuals. And so these individuals would tell him, hey, quit griping about people you disagree with. If you don't like what they're saying, get the hell off that server. But don't come crying to me, because I'm not going to moderate in that way. And so all these little progressives to get their feelers hurt over on Twitter, you know, come into Mastodon and think that they're going to set up the same system that they had on Twitter. And guess what? Sorry. People are tired of your crap and they don't want you or your type of censorship on their platform. So keep crying and keep looking for platforms until you find one that accepts crying little babies that can't take, you know, any kind of criticism or any kind of controversial statements to what your little world believes. And I'm glad that they have trouble finding a spot. And it's hilarious to watch them on Mastodon. Now, let me tell you the truth. Mastodon, in my opinion, kind of sucks. So let me explain it just a tiny bit. So Mastodon, let me see what I'm on Mastodon. Okay, no, that's not what I'm on. That's funny. I was going to say, I'm on Universidon. No, I'm not. I was just checking it out. Tech Hub Social. TechHub.social is the server I'm on Mastodon. Now, Tech Hub is a server where people go to talk about tech stuff, right? So if I wanted to also be on Travel Europe or some other server on Mastodon, well, I can't get all the stuff from both those servers in one place. At least if I can, I haven't figured out how to do it yet. I literally have to go to each server to see what's going on that little corner of the world. So for any of you thinking about going to Mastodon, I mean, it's cool. Specifically, here's what's cool about it. At least the people who are on Tech Hub are talking about tech stuff, right? And not a lot of crying, whining BS going on in there, pointing fingers and trying to get somebody banned for talking about Linux, the open source operating system, and, you know, Windows people on there crying that somebody's talking about a free operating system that's much better than Windows, and my feelings are hurt. Nope, doesn't happen there. But anyway, so I'm just saying, Mastodon, if you want to get on there and take your chances, hey, come over to Tech Hub and say hi. I've only been on there a couple weeks. I don't know, man. It's tedious. It is tedious. But you know what the truth is? It's a lot like IRC in a way. Well, kind of. Like, you go to IRC and you get in a channel of people with like interests, and pretty much you're going to get the same stuff you get everywhere else where people are involved. You're going to have some jerks on there. You're going to have a lot of people on there who are probably know-it-alls and don't care to share with you their tricks. And you're going to have a lot of people on there who are helpful and really want to get involved in conversations and projects with other people and help them out. And yeah, and then you're going to have a lot of scumbags at the bottom of the barrel who just have to be scumbags. So I would assume that you're going to find the same thing on Mastodon, although I haven't seen it. But I'm only on like one site. No, I think I'm on two servers. I couldn't even tell you what the other server is right now. Should I look it up? Okay, I'll look it up for you. I am on... Oh, Fostodon, of course. This is another good one. Fostodon, if you don't know what FOSS is, FOSS stands for Free Open Source Software. And Fostodon is where people will go who support free and open source software. Okay? So you can see I'm really in the social mode here by joining forces with Tech Hub and Fostodon, where we talk about, you know, tech stuff, nerdy tech stuff. They do have some good Raspberry Pi projects on there, though, so it's a good place to go check that out. Let's see. I wanted to talk about a couple things before we run out of time, and we are rapidly running out of time. So let's get to Died Suddenly here. I want to get to this guy's story, of course, unless I don't have it. That would be typical. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? You know why? Because I think I had it on. I think I had it on a tab that was open, and then I closed the tab. That's pretty horrible. That's okay. Let's talk about something else as bad as that. Let's see here. I know it was a 25-year-old ex-college football player. So he's 25, and he was out jogging, and he died. He died of a freaking heart attack out jogging. A 25-year-old kid. And you're seeing more and more of that all the time. If you didn't see the documentary Died Suddenly, go see it. It's awesome. And you will get a feel for what's going on. Here's something I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about this. Here we go. Here it is. 25-year-old former college football tight end dies after suffering cardiac arrest while jogging. Jake Hescock, a 25-year-old former college football tight end who played for a pair of Division I programs, has died after suffering a cardiac arrest, the Orlando Sentinel reported. What are the details? And then it goes into the details. A 25-year-old, and this is not uncommon today. It's not uncommon. It's becoming more and more commonplace that men 20 to 40 years old, 50 years old, are dying suddenly. It's not normal. There's a reason why this happens. And if you're not aware of it, like so many people aren't aware of it, it's time to, you know, to spread the news. Look at this. Spike protein blood clots. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein causes blood clots. Now listen, this is important. It doesn't say the vax spike protein causes blood clots. It doesn't say the virus spike protein causes blood clots. It says SARS-CoV-2 spike protein causes blood clots, and they have found the spike protein at the scene of the crime. In other words, let me see what it says here. Yeah, it's at the scene of the crime. I have it here. They found SARS-CoV-2 spike protein directly attached to platelets within the blood clots retrieved from patients. Importantly, there was no evidence of the entire virus. This suggests the spike protein disassociates from the virus and becomes its own clot-forming missile within the human body. I could anticipate that mRNA, adenoviral DNA, and spike protein antigen-based vaccines act the same way by generating free spike protein within plasma, which is able to circulate and participate in the development of blood clots. So the takeaway point is the spike protein causes blood clots. And here we are. Every day you see these public service announcements by the federal government saying, hey, get out there and get your vaccine. Now, everybody who's 5 years old and above, it's safe to get a vaccine. Everybody who's 6 months old and above, you can go get your vaccine. We have idiots on these programs now, on these commercials in between programs. You know, I got my vaccine to protect my farm. I got my vaccine to protect my family. You know, vaccines are a part of life when your kid goes to school. It's so natural to get a vaccine. Lies, constantly lies, killing hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. It's time for us to go. I'll see you guys Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.